Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Joy of the Lord. Again on July 19th. And it seems as if because I'm doing a series on spiritual warfare that I am especially going through a lot of spiritual warfare. Or perhaps it's because I'm going through so much spiritual warfare that I happen to be doing the series. I don't know. But I have a lot to talk about tonight, a lot to go through, and so originally this was put in as to be announced, but we're definitely still in spiritual warfare, and so we'll go to the Lord now in prayer and then begin. Father, we're so thankful that we have you when we are going through persecution, trials, tribulations, all the things that happen to us as we go through, as we are followers of Christ, as we're followers of you, because things are going to happen. We're going to go through troubles while we're here on earth. There's just no getting around it. And even though there are many who believe that once we are saved, we're going to be blessed beyond all recognition, and this is true. We are blessed once we're saved. We are blessed beyond belief. But that doesn't mean that we don't have problems. And Father, we just come to you now and ask your forgiveness for when we complain and moan, when we do have problems, because we know that blessings and tribulations go hand in hand quite often. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace, even through all the problems, and ask for you to bless us as we go through this study today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so the title today is Spiritual Warfare, How to Respond During Persecution. And let me just say that I'm quite sure that you don't always do so well. I certainly don't always do so well and wouldn't do well at all, didn't do well at all before Christ. And I was put in a particular situation this last week. And, you know, again, I just want to, as I said during prayer, we are so blessed to have the Lord to lead us and to have each other, right? Because if it wasn't for, God, we would just be a complete mess. Anytime we are put in the midst of trials, we would be a complete mess. I know at least that I always have been and still at times am. And this last week was no exception. And I'm going to try to sort of go through some scripture and try not to focus on myself too much, but focus on how we, in any situation, use God, use scripture to to get through these problems. And I'm, like I said, I'm going to try not to focus particularly on my situation because we all have different situations that we go through. But I had a, I just want to say I had a really bad problem this last week, and this, what I'm going to go through today is about what Scripture says to us when we are under attack, under persecution, when someone is trying to argue with us, get us to argue back with them, any of those kind of situations. And the only Scripture, the only Scripture that kept coming into my mind during this entire horrific problem that I ran into was one of Proverbs 15:1. And it's the first one I have here. The Proverbs is really good in this area, but there's a lot the Scripture has to say, but Proverbs 15:1 just kept ringing in my head. And this is why it's so important that we study Scripture and we know enough of it that God will bring certain verses to our mind, even if we don't know right at that moment that exact Scripture reference. He'll bring these words to our mind. And Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." And, you know, I'm not going to go into all the who's and why's and what for's and all the words that were said to me and all the it's not important. It doesn't matter who, it doesn't matter what. What's important is how God brought that one verse to mind and just kept repeating it over and over in my head. Because if I didn't have that verse, I think I would have lost it. I mean, I had two people screaming at me at the top of their lungs. And I wanted to defend myself. That was the flesh in me just saying, you know, defend me, defend who I am. But that's not, that all that would have done was to cause more argument, right? Just bringing back, you know, and so My only answer was just, you know, a couple of very small responses quietly. And at one point I was told, and I'm going to just say this one thing because there was one answer that God gave me also, and that was, I was told, you know, "I can't believe you call yourself a Christian. You know, you're such a bad person." and we're in the middle of, I guess I can't really say we were in the middle of an argument because I was quiet and I was being yelled at. But I just, my only response was, "Yes, I am. I am. I'm not a good person. There's no good people on earth. We're not good." And so I said, "Yes, I am. I'm so thankful I have Christ. Because without him, I am nothing." And that stopped this person. The other person by this time had just walked away, just taken off in anger. Self-anger, I think. but this person claims to be a Christian, and may be. I don't know. But I think is full of a lot of self-anger and is going through some things. But that stopped it, because, you see, that is truth. That is truth. We are, there's really no good in us, right, in our flesh. The only good is in us, is what is in us, is the Christ in us, right? So, you know, this, if you remember no other verse out of all of them that I give out today, just keep that one in your mind and allow God to give it to you when you don't know what to say, you don't know what to respond in the middle of any sort of attack like this. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. See, that stirs up, the anger is already there, right? It's talking about turns away that wrath. A harsh word stirs up the anger that's already there. You're just going to stir it up even more. The best thing we can do is just be quiet. Not even respond, you know, or if we do respond, just to respond in quiet and in even acceptance, which is so hard, isn't it? To just accept their words, and not as truth necessarily, but just that this is what they're position is, this is what their anger is saying, this is their emotions, and whether or not it's true doesn't really matter, because we know who we are in Christ. We know who we are in Christ, and that's all that matters. That's all that matters. And I'm going to stick in Proverbs for just a little bit here, and then, just because I have so many, and then we'll move into some other scriptures, but Proverbs, some of these here, very, very good. And so we're just going to stick here for a little bit. Proverbs 14:17. He who is quick-tempered acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. And I want to say I'm referring mostly here to self. Not to the person. I'm not trying to judge that person who was attacking me or who might attack you. Because we, as Christians, we as people of God, have to be the ones who just kind of say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to... Yep, I'm going to use that word. I wasn't sure, but yeah, we're not going to lower ourselves to Satan's tactics, because that's what this is, right? I'm just going to go out of Proverbs for a second here and remind us of where we are in spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6:12, I go back to this every week. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And I do want to say that there was a time in the midst of all this that I sort of forgot that for a moment, you know, and... Or I should say moments. I went sort of back and forth between realizing that I was in spiritual warfare and sort of trying to battle it with my own flesh. I mean, maybe not battle it, but maybe. It's not so much battle it, but that I sort of internalized. Maybe that's a better way of putting it. I felt that fleshly attack. And because we are living in this world, right? And it's difficult not to take it personal. When you have a person standing in front of you, maybe not physically attacking you, but verbally attacking, right? It's not like it's just something going on in your head, you know? It's not like it's just, you know, Satan and one of God's angels standing in front of you, just, you know, them attacking each other. There is verbal attack. There is this fleshly thing going on. We are here on earth in these fleshly bodies. And I'm not trying to just blow this off and say, oh, this is easy. This is all you got to do. You know, just pray and let God handle it. You know, I'm not trying to act as if this is just some very simple thing to do. So please don't think that I'm making light of it, because I do understand, believe me, having been through this throughout my life, really. But then this was very, very difficult last week. And so I'm trying to say that I do understand. I'm not trying to come across as self-righteous and say, wow, just do what I did. No. Believe me, this was a very, very difficult thing for me as well that I went through. And so as I went through this study myself, after having gone through this last week, there's even more that I see, and this is why I feel the need to share this as well. So Proverbs 14:17, he who is quick-tempered acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. See, we bring that then on us when we become quick-tempered in response to their actions. See, we're then acting foolishly. This is the same thing that we're saying here in Proverbs 15:1. This is, we're supposed to act appropriately, have this soft answer, to turn away their wrath. It's like sort of just like just putting an arm up when someone is trying to hit at you, and instead of hitting back, just putting a defensive posture out there and brushing it away, instead of pounding it away. Just put your hand up and say, nope, I'm not going to partake in that. Nope, I'm not going to have anything to do with that. It's a brushing away instead of a pounding back. And so this is, as I said, it's difficult. It's not easy. It's so hard when what we want to do is take our own revenge, don't we? We want to argue back. We want to fight back. We want to say, how dare you say that about me? How dare you attack me that way? How dare you call me worthless or all the other names, the name calling, the swearing, you know, at you, whatever. But, and we can't do that, right? We see all this around us that goes on with the fighting and the wars, right? This is what leads to wars. And look at everything that happened in 2020, right? With the people rioting in the streets. It wasn't any sort of, you could probably hear maybe in my voice a little bit, I'm a bit still shaken. I won't, I won't deny it. This still has me a bit uneasy. It's difficult to go through this sort of thing. And leaning on Christ and leaning on other Christians is the only way that we can get through this sort of thing. Let's go to Proverbs 19. And Proverbs 19, and we're going to go to 19:11. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and it is to his glory to overlook a transgression. To overlook a transgression. In other words, to when someone gives you a hard time, to just kind of go, okay. I'm going to ignore the way they're treating me because it's just not that important. How difficult is that for us? The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger. In other words, how important is this really in the grand scheme of things? God is the one that is going to be the final judge, right? Trying to really decide how to treat this person who is treating me this way. It's up to God. It's up to God to make that decision. But we want to have control over it, right? We want to make that decision. We want to say, I'm going to tell you off in return for how you've treated me. I'm going to judge how you should be treated in return. But it's not up to us. It's not up to us. Proverbs 15:15. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. So you have this other person stirring up strife and causing all this problem. And we have the ability to just kind of go, okay, whatever. You can act that way if you want to, but I'm not going to take part in it. I'm not. Go and act that way if you choose, but you're making yourself look like the fool. I'm not. And we see this. Here's the interesting thing. You know, when we watch two other people, right? If we stand back and we watch two people get into an argument, we can watch it and go, what a bunch of fools. I mean, it looks ridiculous, doesn't it? And if we watch those two in a different situation, and the one person is screaming and hollering, and the other person just looks at him and goes, whatever. We can see that, can't we? We can see how the person who just keeps going nuts, losing their temper, and acting all wild and flailing their arms around maybe and whatever, he or she is the one that looks like the fool. I'm just going to use he instead of he or she, okay? We know what I'm talking about. So he's the one that looks like the fool. Looks crazy, right? And the one who's just kind of nodding their head and, you know, shrugging their arms and saying, you know, I'm not going to fight and argue with you. They're the ones that look more, for lack of a better word, normal. And I know I have, at least, I can look back at a time when I lost my temper and thought, wow, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe, you know, that I got so worked up about something foolish. something I really didn't need to get that upset over. You know? Was that really necessary? Was it necessary to get that, you know, to blow it up that much out of proportion? It just wasn't necessary. It wasn't that big a deal. And so, as I look back into what happened, I'm thankful that God really prevented me from acting the same way that they were acting. Because if I didn't have him whispering in my ear a soft answer, turns away wrath. If I didn't listen, I would have ended up looking just as foolish. And I would have been looking back today and saying, wow, I really blew it. I really blew it. And I would have had to have gone back and apologize for my horrendous actions. Now, these people that haven't apologized to me, and, you know, that's on them, right? I honestly don't expect them to. And we, in my opinion, we should have no expectations. We can't expect them to come apologize to us. That's up to God to handle it with them. He needs to convict them, and they need to listen. And if they don't, that's not on us to, you know, to try to get them to do something. It's not up to us. God is the one that deals with them, not us. Proverbs 29:11. Oh, boy, did this one get me today, because I thought, ha, I'm so, thank you, Lord. I have to remember this one. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. A wise man holds them back. I tend to be, Carl is listening today. He knows this is sort of me. He's less of an emotional person than I am. And he will admit that. But I am. I tend to be a more emotional person. And I'm not talking about, you know, I tend to not show anger so much. I do tend to hold it inside, kind of shove it down. But not always. And last week I came very close to the not always. But I am an emotional person. So I had some issues with some crying and, you know, kind of letting some of that out. And I felt bad about that afterwards because I do tend to do that. I tend to kind of show my emotions. But I also show them as far as joy and happiness and, you know, those kind of things. I show those emotions very easily. And sometimes I think that I maybe need to pull back on that even a little bit because I am an emotional person. But that's me feeling like maybe I should hold that back a bit. God's never said that to me. It's my feeling because I think it makes me vulnerable. Maybe we should be vulnerable sometimes. I don't know. But this says a fool vents all his feelings. And maybe, you know, it doesn't say anger. It says feelings. So maybe that's, you know, maybe that does make me more vulnerable to people being able to take advantage, you know, and to use some things against me, right? And so, you know, we have to be careful about some of those things. And that kind of hit me today. I didn't see this one before, but this is really interesting. And I'm going to add this. You might want to yeah, you might want to, oh, goodness, I'm seeing a couple more. I'm just going to add these to it because these are interesting. I'm going to start in verse 9. We're in Proverbs 29. And I'm going to add in here not just verse 11, but verse 9 through 11. Okay? So 9 and 10, if a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether the fool rages or laughs, there is no peace. See, a fool is going to be upset with you no matter what you say or do. If he's upset, he's going to be upset. He's not going to be happy with you. And so we're talking about when, you know, a Christian, when a Christian person is upset with you, he's going to stay upset with you. He's going to stay upset with you. A non-Christian is not going to be happy around a Christian, no matter how it seems on the outside. See, it says whether the fool rages or laughs, there is no peace. I don't care what it looks like to you. And this is something that I hadn't seen earlier, but this is some truth that I hadn't even thought of, but was brought up to me after this all happened. For sure, at least one of these people is not a Christian. The other one may be. But you're going to see a facade. They can't be happy with you if you're a Christian. They can't be. A person who is not a Christian cannot be happy being around you because they are ruled by evil. Does that mean that everything that they do is evil? No, we know that's not true. People that are on that side, they do nice things. They give to charities. They may, you know, do nice things for you. We know that. But Satan always has some sort of agenda. Always. And that person may not even be aware of it because they don't understand who they're ruled by. They don't know that. They very likely don't have a conscious awareness that Satan is in control of their life. Before I knew Christ, I didn't have that awareness. I just went skipping through life, you know, da-da-da, like everything's all hunky-dory and everything's, you know, everything's wonderful. I believed in God. I believed in God. So therefore, certainly, could not be having anything to do with me. I believed in God. So now, one person that this happened with doesn't even believe in God. But so if she doesn't believe in God and she doesn't believe in Satan, how can this person believe that she's being governed by Satan? You see? So, you know, we're getting into even though we're in this spiritual warfare, the other person may not be aware that they are being used in this spiritual warfare. They're not even aware. You know, they've got these puppet strings attached to them and don't even know that it's going on. Not even aware of it. But we have to be aware. We must be aware who they're being ruled by. Because if we're not, then we can be, remember, we can't be demon possessed, but we can be demon oppressed. And they can come up, these little demons can come up and start talking in our ear. And let me tell you, this happened to me last week. You know, I was hearing the, see how worthless you are? Listen to what they're saying about you. You know, maybe this really is you. You're a worthless, disgusting, horrible human being. These are the things I was hearing. You know, and it was starting to manifest in my head. I mean, I had to go to God in prayer, and I had to call a fellow Christian because I was not doing well. And sometimes we have to do that. We have to connect because we are here on earth. We have to connect with someone else. Do not be afraid when you're in the midst of prayer and you're in the midst of looking up scripture and you just feel like I'm stuck in a hole here. Don't be afraid to call someone who you trust, who you know is a godly Christian, you know, who you know is going to, you know, come up with Bible verses for you when you are feeling oppressed. Don't be afraid to reach out to someone. All right, let's go to, we're still in Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12, 16. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. So when, as Christians, even if we get angry and upset with this person who is just tearing us to pieces, we need to hold our peace. Take a breath. Do not allow that to come spilling out of us, because that is Satan and his little fallen angels trying to work through us, you know, trying to say, come on, get angry, go ahead, you don't deserve to take this, you have rights. Do we? Do we really? Come on, let God do it. Let God do the work. He's the one. He's the one that has the right to do all the work, not us. Proverbs 11:29. He who troubles his own house, his own family, right, will inherit the wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise of heart. Inherit the wind. And I looked this up. In other words, what's the wind? The wind is empty, blowing around, doing nothing but causing disturbance. It's empty. It's just air. And that's what people who just cause nothing but trouble in their families, in their homes, in their neighborhood there, that's what's going to happen to them. All they inherit is nothing. They may inherit money, you know, but what good is that? That's worthless in the end, right? They're going to inherit nothingness, emptiness. And in the end, we know that's true. What is the true inheritance? What is the true inheritance? God's mercy and grace. You see, the fool will be servant to the wise of heart. And that's exactly what happens at the end, right? They're nothing. They get nothing from God. All they do is suffer for eternity. And they will feel as if they are just simply nothing but the servants, forced to just submit to God's wrath. Proverbs 25. I can't even tell you in doing this study how much I came up with. Just amazing. Thank you, Lord, for all your wisdom. Proverbs 25, verse 28. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. When we just allow ourselves to just let go and blast out when someone is upset with us and yelling at us or whatever. We have to just rule over our own spirit and say, nope, I am not going to be that one to scream back. Okay? Whatever is coming at me, Lord, I'm going to allow you to handle it. Or I'm going to be like a city broken down without walls. I'm going to inherit nothing but the wind. I'm going to be empty with nothing. Empty with nothing. And, you know, there's nothing worse than being empty of God. Proverbs 18. 19, Proverbs 18, 19. Oops. One's your thought. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle. So if I had returned their screaming for more screaming, all it would have gotten me is more offense. And it would have been even more difficult to repair the relationship. And we would have just been, we would have walked away from that whole situation been worse off than if I had just said, okay, I'm just going to let it go. Verse 21 says death in the same chapter. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Look how much power we have. I could have killed that relationship by just speaking back with the same wrath that they spoke to me. Same wrath. And I could have destroyed that relationship. Now, could they have destroyed it as well? Absolutely. Absolutely. And that was Satan's intent, was to destroy a relationship God had mended. You see, this relationship that I prayed over for a few years, prayed over these relationships, and God had restored them. Because they already had anger issues. And then when they came at me with anger again, because Satan wanted to destroy what God had mended, what God had... If I had said, okay, yep, I'm going to get in the middle of this too. I'm going to allow myself to get angry and upset. And all this over this whole thing, I would have mended. And shame on me if I had. Shame on me if I hadn't listened to God when he said, a soft answer. A soft answer. This is why it's so important when God speaks to us, we have to live. And let me tell you something. I have not always listened. So as I said earlier, don't think that I'm trying to say, oh, I'm so quick. I am not. I blow it more than I care to admit. I do. I'm thankful, so thankful that the Holy Spirit just kept saying those same words to me over and over again. He knew I needed to keep hearing them. I needed to keep hearing them over and over. I could not do it myself. Couldn't. Has great understanding. But he was impulsive, confusion. All right? So when we, and this slow to wrath, or excuse me, impulsive, excuse me, he who is impulsive or short of spirit is what that means. So when we don't let the Holy Spirit work through us, we are going to lift all that anger up, lift all that confusion up, and we're just going to make it even worse. Because when we don't, it's all it is the flesh working then. That's all it is. We become a mess. Proverbs 16:32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. So better than those who work with their fists, right? Better than those who lash out. And he who rules his spirit takes a city. So we think, you know, to fight back, I can beat them because I'll be better than they are. You know, I'm just going to fight back with all my words, all my fists, all my, whatever. No, God says it's better if we just say, I'm not going to be involved in that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to fight back with words, with my fists, with any of that. I'm going to understand that. And if you want to make a fool of yourself, then do so. But I'm not going to. I'm not going to allow that to happen. And remember what I said earlier about if you're just falling apart, seek another Christian to help you. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Seek God's counsel. There is safety in a good Christian friend, a good Christian mentor who can say, you know what, it's okay, just continue to give a soft answer. And if you're not already doing it, then go to that. Even if you've already messed up, there's a way to turn back, to say, listen, I didn't handle this right in the beginning, but now I'm going to. Now I'm going to. I'm going to say what I should have said before, and this is what I should have said. And you can go back. You can repent, right? We can always repent. And that will blow them away as well, right? It's still a soft answer, even if we have to go back to a soft answer, even if we blew it at first, we can still go back to a soft and verse 6. God's facilitator in families. He brings up those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. You're feeling alone. You feel like your family has deserted you. You know, maybe you came up in a family that is contentious. God will set you in a family that are, as we heard with godly counsel, they're your safety. And you may have been bound in the family of convention, but he's going to bring you into prosperity. Does that mean prosperity? Does that mean money? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. So don't go thinking, oh, okay, you know, this prosperity gospel that we hear. Prosperity does not necessarily mean wealth of money. Wealth can be God's mercy. There's no better wealth than being a child of God in the hands of a merciful God who will bring you out of, the possibility of hell, right? That is true prosperity. It says, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. A dry land. Not having God's mercy and grace. That's the driest land you can have. Remember, we have rivers, living water, living Christ. That's the opposite of that. But we're solitary. We're feeling alone because of all these things happening. God is going to bring us through it. But we have to remember that it does come from him. It comes from him, not from us. Not from us. Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy, as should we be. If he is slow to anger, how much more so should we be? Think of how he would handle and how he did handle those of us who were angry with him for so long. We should also have mercy upon those who treat us with disdain, with anger, and love them in spite of it. Not an easy thing to do, is it? We want to strike back. You know, we want to say, how dare you treat us this way? I did. That's what I wanted to say. I mean, it was not easy. It was not easy. I have to tell you, there were many moments when I simply wanted to say, who do you think you are? I mean, I really did. I wanted to say those words. I mean, but God restrained me. He restrained me, not them. Get that. He restrained me. He did not restrain them. Why? Because I am his child. Think about that. Oh, thank you, Lord. Think about that for a minute. Thank you, Lord. So you're in a Walmart. I'm just putting that there, okay? You're in a Walmart, and a child comes up to your child and starts an argument, right? Starts a fight, starts an argument. And your child foolishly starts to fight back. Which child are you going to restrain? Right? You're not going to restrain the other mother's child, the other father's child. That's not your business. That's not your business. You're going to restrain your child and say, Doesn't matter how they behave. You behave properly. You behave properly. Turn around. Walk away. All right, keep going. Isn't that what you do? I hope you would. I would. Walk away. Come on. Keep going. It's not your business to restrain somebody else's child. God does not restrain. Oh, I shouldn't say that. That's not. God often doesn't restrain Satan's child. He says, okay, you know what? You want to act a fool? Act a fool. Act a fool. Your judgment is coming. Your judgment is coming. Now, God may be convicting that person. He may convict that person, but quite often, and we see this in this world, right? God lets them act like fools if that's how they want to act like fools. Go ahead. But your judgment is going to come. Our let me turn there right now. Hold on. I'm going to go to Hebrews for a moment. See, we, because we're his children, let me get back here. Because we're his children, he's going to chasten us. Let's go to Hebrews. Let's just go to Hebrews 7. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? See, he's dealing with us because he loves us. He's going to tell us, don't do that. Don't go there. He doesn't want us going the way we shouldn't go. Leviticus 19, 17 and 18. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. Okay? We're not talking about rebuking them as far as just telling them off because you feel like it. We're talking about not bearing sin because of them. Okay? So in other words, you're not going to allow them to have problems if they're doing wrong, okay? If they're doing wrong, yes, you want to tell them, but you don't hate them. You shall not, here's the big one, verse 18, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. No grudges. No grudges. All right. Let's go. Exodus 14. I hope I'm reading my notes here correctly. Exodus 14. Yes, 14. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. So, to put that a little more bluntly, shut up. That's what he was telling me. Shut your mouth and let me handle this. That's what he was telling me. You be quiet. This is my battle, not yours. I will fight for you. I've got this. Stop trying to do my job. That's what he was telling me. Stop trying to do my job. Let me take care of it. Let me do it. Basically, it's like, don't you listen? Listen. Listen to me. Up to me. My job. My job. David and Goliath, right? The battle is the Lord. The battle is the Lord. It's not ours. It's not up to us. If he wants us to fight, right? If he wants us to fight, he'll let us know. the Trojan horse, right? Told them what to do. The Battle of Jericho, he told them what to do. He told them what he wanted them to do. Unless God comes down or tells you, listen, this is exactly how I want you to handle this. And I can almost guarantee you that he's not going to tell you to go into your closet, get a gun, and go shoot your neighbor. Okay? There's a 99.99999% chance that's not going to happen. Okay? Ephesians 4. I'm not trying to speak for the Lord. That's why I said 99.999. Just saying. Ephesians 4, 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. So Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. So it's okay to be upset. It's okay to we're going to get angry, but we have to let it go. Am I still angry? I'm not pleased. I don't think I'm still angry. I'm a little frustrated, maybe. Bothered by what happened, but I would not say I'm angry, no. I was hurt. I don't even know if I'm still hurt anymore. I'm disappointed, but I think I would still be angry if I'd allowed myself to get all stirred up in that moment at the time. It would have just really... Man, just really ground my gears. You know what I mean? It just would have made it so much worse because we would have just started to gone back and forth and back and forth. Yeah. I really think handling it this way kept me from, from letting that sun go down on my wrath, you know. I think it kept me from having all that anger. Yeah, I was hurt. And so I think this is true. Of course it's true. It's God's word, right? But I'm saying it was true for me, and therefore I think that I can see why, I guess is what I want to say. I can see why. This is such great advice. It's like, this is why it says, nor give place to the devil. That's what that does. When we allow that anger to kind of simmer in us, it gives place to the devil. It gives him a place to come in and sort of sit there with you, right? And say, look what they did to you. See what they did? See what they did? You know, it gives that place to him. To just sit there and fester in your mind. Now, I'm not going to say I'm already just happy and peachy keen thrilled about what happened. I'd be lying. But it didn't, but being able to kind of just, I'm not going to get involved in it. Being able to say that allows us to not give place to the devil. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Grace to the hearers. If we do not argue back, if we don't say anything that can cause them anger, now they can choose to be angry, right? they can choose to be angry, even when we don't say anything rude or nasty or, you know, because they could be angry just because we have Christ. That's on them. But if they, you know, that's their choice. But if we don't say anything to cause that, if we don't say anything, as they put it, corrupt communication, if we don't say anything rude, vile, whatever, all we say is that which is necessary and good for edification. We are imparting grace to them. We're imparting grace. That's what we're doing, because we're allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us. That's what we're doing. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All that stuff that you're thinking in your head that you want to say because you're upset, you can't believe this is being said to you, toss it out. Toss it out. It says, let it be put away from you. Don't even consider it. Don't even think about it. Put it away. Verse 32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. Now this says forgiving one another. What if they don't forgive you? That's not your problem. That's not your problem. We are to be kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving. This is so hard, isn't it? I can't say that I have forgiven all these people who have been so cruel to me. I can't. I'm working on it, just as God's working on me. And I really believe that this is, that he used last week and what happened to show me, okay, we got through this one. We got through this one, and I'm quite sure there's another one coming down the road. Because I could see that what I wanted to do, what my flesh wanted to do, was to get angry. It really did. It wanted to lash out. I wanted to lash out. I didn't. I listened to God, but I wanted to lash out. My flesh wanted to. The fact that I wanted to, not good. Not a good thing. And he needed to show me that, you see, that I wanted, my flesh wanted to speak back and say, you know, my pride rose up inside me and said, who do you think you are? And God, the Holy Spirit inside me said, not up to you. Not up to you to say one single solitary word in response. Shut your mouth. Keep quiet. Don't say anything. So hard. So hard. 2 Timothy 2, verse 23. Verse 23, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patience, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. It was foolish and it was ignorant. But I would have been more foolish and more ignorant if I hadn't avoided it, you see. It's easy for me to point my finger and say, that was foolish and ignorant. But you see, if I had allowed myself to get involved in it, it's my fault. It's my fault. I'm supposed to let the Holy Spirit work through me. And once I become engaged in that, it's my fault. It doesn't matter if they started it, you know, like I'm 5 years old or something. They started it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's my fault if I let myself engage. I have to allow myself to be led by the Holy Spirit. I have to let Him do the work. In humility, it says, correcting those who are in opposition. They didn't even let me, though, you see, correct or say, no, that's not what happened. And eventually, I just had to keep quiet, not say a word. And you may be thinking, I can't do that. No, you can't. Neither could I. I could do it. He could, working through me, but I could not. I couldn't. I've never been able to. I am incapable. Can't do it. This is what is important to realize. It wasn't me. This was not me. Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That is spiritual warfare. That is Ephesians 6:12. If we respond the way my flesh wanted to respond, I am being overcome by evil. I'm allowing Satan and his demons to work in my life, to be oppressive, and then to say, we got you. We got you. And then later on, I'm going to say, man, I'm going to have all that guilt, right? That Satan's going to come in and say, see, you think you're such a Christian. Look what you did. See, this is how we get all that guilt and all that, right? We feel like, oh, man, I blew it. And then it slowly starts to pull us further away from God, because what do? We say, oh, man, I'm worthless. I can't do it. No. This is why we listen to the Holy Spirit. We don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Romans 12:19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. Wrath, what does that mean? It's the wrath of God, right? In other words, let God handle it. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Right? Let Him handle it. Let Him do it. I should have put this one down too, and I didn't. I mean, how could I have missed it? I should say verse 19 and 20. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. This is exactly what I did. Do it. Take them out to dinner. Do something extra special nice for them. Drive them a little crazy. I'm telling you, it works. I'm not going to go into details, but I'm just saying. God is going to convict them and make them a little bit crazy, because they're going to wonder why you're being so nice to them after they just ripped you to shreds. You know, I need to, like, circle that one, put some sort of a big, one of those, what are they called? Those post-it notes sticking out of the Bible on that one. Memorize it. Maybe tattoo it to my forehead. I don't know. But, yes, definitely. In doing so, you will keep coals of fire on his head. That doesn't mean that you're supposed to really, it doesn't mean you're supposed to sit back and kind of go, ah, ha, 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 I just keep heaps coals of fire on your head. That's not the idea. It means be nice in return. Just be nice, regardless of what they do. Because what's going to happen is they are going to realize how foolish they are, and God's going to handle them. Maybe they'll come to Christ because of how you treated them in return for how they treated you.
If you take two call strikes, you're only up one third of the time. So if you get up three
What's
times,
that?
You've only been up
what,
once.
Carl? What, Carl?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was on.
I didn't know you were
one.
Either.
How did that,
happen?
I never hit one. Raven, it's the same thing that happened to me Sunday where my program ends in 15 minutes. No.
Wow, that was interesting.
I'm on and didn't know it. It's a good
I didn't
thing
know
you
were either.
I said. It's
yeah,
a
I
good
did.
Thing you didn't hear what I said. You're not hearing me now.
Yeah, I can hear you.
It's a good thing you didn't hear all the bad things I said about you the last half. Oh, good. Hey, you're doing it. You're handling this well. You're handling this very well.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're making all the points without being emotionally involved.
You know, it's and the interesting thing, you know, God gave me all these verses.
So
I have three left. I have three left and
yeah,
10
but
minutes.
You lived it. You got the verses, but you lived it.
I did.
I don't know how I came. I have no idea how I came on, but
I don't either. I'm not even touching my computer. It's so weird.
And I didn't.
You know,
I didn't hit one. Yep.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have strange things happen on this. On
you
this
bet
sometimes,
we do.
So.
Imagine
you know,
after three and a half years, I schedule a program for 15 minutes.
Isn't that something? Yeah. Folks, this is Carl. I know you've heard him before, and he's on Sunday afternoon. Wonderful teacher. If you don't listen on Sundays or if you've never heard his program, it's Carl. What is, how do we call him? Carl, Bible Study with Carl. Bible Study with Carl, and it's on Sunday afternoon. Excellent program. Excellent program. If you never listen, you should. Very, very good. And just had surgery on Tuesday. And Tuesday? Yeah, yesterday, right? Yesterday morning.
Yep.
And is doing wonderfully. God is so good. God is so good. Yeah.
I was released.
Yeah.
1 hour after surgery.
Amazing. Just
and that
amazing.
Was spinal. That was spinal surgery.
Yeah. Just really something. God is.
Well,
is
I had two churches praying for me, plus numerous people. So there's no question
absolutely.
It was prayer.
Yeah.
Let me tell you
absolutely.
Just a little story. Pastor Dave.
Uh-huh.
Is on a first name basis with the director of internal medicine at UTMCO Hospital.
Is that right?
Which is a teaching hospital. Yeah, it's a teaching hospital. And this guy, the head of internal medicine, told Dave, he said, make sure that this person at 80 years old knows what he's going through, because this is a very serious and critical surgery. Very serious and very critical of anything going wrong. It could be paralysis, anything. And the doctor, the surgeon, released me 1 hour in paperwork after the surgery was over.
Isn't that something?
It's miraculous.
It is. It really is. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm glad you didn't hear what. I'm glad you didn't hear what we thought about you earlier. But.
You know, Carl, I got to tell you, when you know, because I had texted your wife and said, you know, hey, how's Carl doing? You know, is he out of surgery yet and whatnot? And then you called me a little bit later, and I thought it was Sue. I thought it was your wife calling me from your phone. And then I heard your voice, and it's a good thing I was sitting down. Because I think I would have fallen down. I mean, I was shocked. Very shocked to hear your voice.
Well, the surgeon, the neurosurgeon, told me in the first meeting we had, and he told me right before they put me out, if everything goes perfect, my hope is to get you out of here tomorrow afternoon. And then he told me before I left. He said there's nothing we can do for you. Your vital signs, everything is perfect. He says, there's no reason to keep you here.
Isn't that something?
It is a miracle. I'm convinced of it.
Yes. Yes. I absolutely agree. Knowing that you had gotten out of that surgery so quickly, and sent home out of recovery so quickly.
I was released on paperwork by the surgeon 2 hours after the surgery began.
After
one
the surgery
hour
began?
After, it began at 9:10.
Uh-huh.
At 11:30 roughly, 11:20, he signed the paperwork to release me.
Wow.
I mean, this is miraculous. I mean, he came in and he had his head down, and he said, "I can't keep you." He says, "You're in better condition right now than you need to be released tomorrow." And I know it's prayer, and I don't do that much, Raven. I don't walk around saying that there's miracles in my life, even though I know there is. But there's no question, because too many medical people told me, this is very, very serious thing you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Just wonderful. Yeah, I just love it when this kind of stuff happens, because it is such evidence of God's work, you know. And, you know, I know that I've had family members tell me, you know, with, you know, miraculous things that have happened. I don't know what caused it. But I know it's not God, because I don't believe in God. I've had, you know, them tell me. I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer. You know, I can't tell you what it was, but it can't be God, because,
well,
you know.
See, right there, Raven, they're admitting it is God, and that's what you were saying, that's what aggravates them.
Yeah.
And it's not you that aggravate them. It's the spirit of the Holy Spirit in you that is stirring up their demonic spirits.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is why.
As an unbeliever, even if we're religious, as an unbeliever, we're still answering only to demon spirits, even
That's
religion.
Right. That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
No,
yeah.
This was a good presentation, and people need to hear this, because we all get put in these positions and we feel like lashing out, and I think it's good you're admitting the real you wanted to do it.
Oh, I sure did.
Because, Raven, people need to hear this. They need to hear that we don't go into church and we're finer than frogs there, and if I were any better, I'd be twins. They don't need to hear that on Sunday or Monday through Saturday. They need to hear what real life is about in the trenches, when your own kids are talking to you like you're a dog.
Yeah.
That's what they need to hear.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
More than anything. Or you're in the throes of depression to where you feel like ending your life. And that's the stuff we need to hear from the Bible, though, not from our mind.
Right. You know,
and that's
you're
where
at
you
work.
Do good.
Yeah, you're at work and you've got, your boss, every single day you come in and he's just, tearing into you. I mean, we go through these things. This is a day-to-day stuff,
My wife doesn't, my boss doesn't tear into me every day, but.
She's a sweetheart.
But Raven, the thing that this program that I like about it, and I'm not just complimenting you because I would be like these ministers who want to make you feel good on your way to hell. You're giving only scripture, and that's what the people need to hear. They don't need to hear what you and I think, say, or do. They need to hear what scripture says about the problem.
Yeah.
No,
absolutely.
You're doing good. I'm sorry I interrupted. I didn't do it. I'm not even sure I could do it intentionally.
I'm glad you did, because it's nice to get this out, though, about what had happened in your surgery and this miracle that happened.
Well,
I got 90 seconds, Carl. Really is.
Why don't you say a prayer and we'll be done.
Yep. Father, we are so thankful. Even to the point of counting it joy for the things that we go through, because we know, Lord, that you're teaching us through them. We're being chastised. We're being taught. We're learning exactly how we are to respond in the throes of persecution. We're learning how we should be responding and how to show to others that they also can have the same soft, gentle response even to wrath, even to persecution, even to anger, because they also can have the Holy Spirit working in them and know the love of God. In Christ's name, amen. I'm going to give out two quick verses here. Colossians 3:8. Put off all these anger, wrath, malice, filthy language out of your mouth. And 1 Timothy 2:8. I would suggest you also look at those. They're excellent, excellent verses. And I will see you next week. Have a wonderful week.
And I'll talk to you on Friday.